Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. What did we call this thing? Which one of these is the greatest silent killer inside of the church? Yeah, that's what we called it. Which one of these is the greatest silent killer inside of the church? Jimmy, are you prepared to represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
I am.
It is an earnest responsibility. You and you alone as federal head of probably nobody, because who would continue listening to this nonsense? This is going to be a list of issues that are silent killers. Okay. And I'd like you to identify the greatest silent killer inside of the church today. Are you ready, sir?
I think so.
Carbon monoxide.
I mean,
could be.
You don't have to go much farther.
Stress. Mm. That's a silent killer. At least that's what the internet says. Radon could be a silent. High blood pressure.
Oh, yeah,
that can take you out. Depression is a silent killer.
Mm.
And finally, lack of assurance. Jimmy, which one of these is the greatest killer of joy inside of the church?
Yeah, I'm going to say lack of assurance.
You're really good at this, man.
Oh, did I get it right?
I got to tell you, this could be the trend that is far too overlooked. I do not know that I have seen many, if any, articles or treatment given to the subject of lack of assurance in the church. Now, Mike Abendroth, he compiled a bunch of devotionals from the Puritans on the subject of assurance, because he, at his church in Boylston, I think, Boylston, Massachusetts, he's seen it too, that people are struggling to know that they have been adopted into God's family. And if the emails that I receive are any indicator of what is really causing people a lot of angst inside of the church, then I got to tell you, I think it's a lack of assurance. Would like to share with you anonymously some of these emails, because you're going to hear the heart of these people. Overall, I don't think I've ever heard from somebody where I didn't hear the heartache, which I got to tell you, one of the best signs you are actually saved is that your heart aches that you might not be saved. Listen to the heart in some of these emails, because I think people are hurting and we should all be aware of this. And this might be one of those questions that perhaps is going to sound a little dopey to you, but if we're going to have genuine Christian fellowship, in other words, if we're going to grow through one of the means of growth that we see identified in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 43, these are the types of things we should be talking about with others. And feel free to use this. Hey, I was listening to this really dopey radio program called Wretched. That aside, they asked the question about assurance and if it's affecting a lot of people inside of the church. How are you doing with assurance? And you might be shocked to learn you got a lot of people surrounding you who maybe they put on a happy face on Sunday morning, but inside they are unsettled, to say the least, in no particular order. I feel kind of spiritually stuck and confused on certain things, like how do I repent without working, or how do I have faith? I overthink a lot because I want to make sure I got this right. I don't ever want to be guilty of rejecting Jesus, and I know that no Christian can ever do that, nor will they want to. Nevertheless, I feel kind of cold and like I lost my fire. Sometimes I might feel like I get it back, but I feel sometimes like a Pharisee, and I don't want to do that. Do you hear that? I want that, but I don't seem to be doing that. And I think that that is one of our key words when it comes to the subject of assurance, doing. Make no mistake about it. We should have fruit in keeping with repentance. There is no doubt about it. And if you are a born-again Christian, I assure you, you have some fruit. And that is why when we go about the business of inspecting fruit, the better question when we survey our own spiritual harvest is not, how many bushels do I have, but how many silos do I want filled with fruit in keeping with repentance? That's what I want. Please make sure if you're one of those individuals that is perpetually doing a little crop checking to see how the harvest is this year. Be careful of that, that that doesn't become your perpetual focus. And as you do that, rather than counting how many stalks are I high, how many stalks would I like to have? How much holier would I like to be? That is a much better indicator of salvation than fruit counting. And I've got to say it again. It doesn't mean we never do that. On occasion, we should examine ourselves. But if you're stuck, I hear these words inside of this email alone. I know that a Christian can't do that, but I feel cold, like I lost my fire. Be careful with that. We've talked about this before because this is a rather predictable sort of response to examining yourself and realizing I'm not as whoa as I was when I got saved. It's okay. It's okay. It should be replaced, increasingly replaced by something deeper and more profound. Let's continue with the letter. I struggle. I act like a hypocrite. I struggle with pride and self-righteousness. Keyword there is, Jimmy, did you hear the keyword?
Yes.
Struggle.
Struggle.
That's good. You should be struggling. We're all struggling. That's what sanctification is all about. I struggle with pride and self-righteousness. By the way, you will forever be struggling with pride. It is the root, I think, of every single sin. I hate the sin, but don't know how to humble myself. Well, yes, you do. You might be confused that your humbling is what curries God's favor. Wrong. You're humbled because you already have God's favor. Be careful if you think that your repentance is what is responsible for getting your slate wiped clean. That repentance is the work that washes your feet. Okay, I've been redeemed by Jesus, but my feet got dirty, so I've got to repent. Well, you should repent. I think that that's obvious. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But it's not your repentance that saved. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And when we forget that, we will have a tendency to ask, all right, how earnest was I? Did I really, really repent? No, I think I just really repent. Oh, today I just repented, but I didn't really repent. And I certainly didn't really, really repent. Be careful of that, because here's the reality. None of us really, really repent the way that we should. And I know this is dangerous ground because it seems to some that this would give license to licentiousness. It does not. It actually produces a greater desire to not sin. That is what understanding grace actually does for us. Yes, you should shed tears when you sin. Yep, you should. But if you don't, be careful that you don't fall into the ditch on one side that says, you're not saved. Don't do that, because it's not your salty tears that get you forgiven. It's Jesus. On the other hand, you got a different ditch. Oh, I'm fine. I'm good to go. I don't need to cry. I don't need to be sad. No contrition from me. Be careful. Just make sure that your acts of contrition, rightly responding to the knowledge of your sin that's been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, doesn't become the mechanism of your salvation. Jesus is. Once again, this is one email, by the way. Once again, I'm struggling, thinking everything I do is legalistic, and I don't want to do that. So you're looking at your motives too much. Stop. Stop that examination. Look at Jesus. Watch him and how he acts. You want to be shattered of your legalism? You go read the Sermon on the Mount, which is precisely the purpose of that sermon. Oh, you think that you're going to be able to do stuff to earn God's favor? The Hebrew word that the Sermon on the Mount uses is muah. You don't have a chance. You have to be perfect, even like God is perfect. What should it do? It should destroy your self-righteousness. It should destroy your confidence. And you should find your confidence outside of yourself, not inside of yourself. I don't want to do these things. I'll examine myself and I'll wonder if I'm being legalistic as I'm doing good work. And then it makes me able to not do anything else, where I become antinomian or at least spiritually lazy. How do I know? Listen to this. Listen to this. Is one email, and I'm telling you, this is persistent. This is the silent killer in the church. How do I know? What do I do? What do I not do? I don't know how or what to do. I'm confused and need Jesus. There you go. That's exactly right. You take your confusion. You take your uncertainty and you bring it to Jesus. You run to him and you lay it at his feet. And yes, you can repent over it, and don't examine your repentance. Just drop it with him and ask him to grow you in assurance, to surround you with people that can encourage you and exhort you and identify the fruit that you believe is lacking. And you fall into his arms and trust him. And if you're not doing that, then guess what? There's probably a really good chance I'm going to be getting an email from you soon. We will continue examining what I think is perhaps the potentially biggest silent killer in the church, lack of assurance, next on Wretched Radio.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, we are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was Bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Needless to say, the church has issues. This is Wretched Radio. You can quickly create a list of all of the issues that the contemporary evangelical church is facing. Assaults on masculinity, assaults on femininity, assault on the family, assault on sexuality, assault on ethnic diversity, you name it. There are a lot of issues, but there is one that I believe is not spoken about very much. And I believe that it is crippling a lot of Christians. And even if it isn't taking them out of the game, it's hobbling them. And they are not experiencing something that Jesus wants for every believer, and that is joy. He wants us to have assurance. He wants us to know, because it brings a contentment and a peace and a purpose and a settledness. In other words, it provides shalom. And there are so many people, in my estimation, that are just confused about the status of their own soul. Are you one of those people? Perhaps you can relate to one of these emails. Here's another one. This will be anonymous too. Honestly, I don't go to God for help. I don't know why. I feel like I'm lying. If your inclination is to not go to God, that should be the spur. That should be the burr under your saddle that goes, I'm going to go to God. When you don't think you should go there, I am telling you, that is a lie, and the zip code is 666. That is from the pit. When you think, oh, I don't want to go to God. My prayers are fumbling and bumbling. Yep, join the club. Oh, they're so weak and pathetic. Yep, they most certainly are. I don't know what to say. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Yep, you should be. Go to him anyway. Run, run, run to your Savior. That's what he wants you to do. He bids you just keep on coming. Just drop to your knees and just bring it. He wants it. He wants you to cast everything on him, not some of it, not just the stuff that you think maybe he can handle. Everything, including your confusion, including your sins. Don't make the mistake of not going to him ever. I feel like I'm lying to myself, and most importantly, God, I'm so ashamed of what I've become that I've convinced myself that I'm just lying to myself and God by going to him. Bring it to him. Bring it. Take it. And then grab your Bible and look for all of the verses that will assure you he's not tittering at you. He's not disgusted with you. He's not put off by you. He's not ashamed of you. Go memorize those Bible verses. And then when you get these feelings, you will remember truth. Back to the email. I don't have self-control. I don't have love and compassion. I don't have discipline. I become the dog that goes back to its vomit, close to none of the fruit of the Spirit. Ah, wait a second. You said none of the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, this laundry list of failures and lack of what he believes or she believes, I don't even know if it's a male or female because I crossed it out, is lacking to provide evidence of salvation. There's some fruit, isn't there? Furthermore, I'll bet if you were willing to talk to somebody at church who knows you, who's been watching you, they might just give you a different perspective than you have of yourself. And this is one more reason you need to be in a local church. This is one reason right here. If you lack assurance, I wonder if you're not very plugged into your church and that you have not worked on relationships of people who would be willing to be honest with you and to say things about you. This is something that we could just be doing for one another in the context of the local church, encouraging, being a Barnabas, being an individual who says things that build up as opposed to tear down. And if you're not in a local church, I'm telling you, it won't be long before assurance creeps into your walk and starts to really hobble you. You need to be in a local church. I believe God is sovereign and an active God. He doesn't sleep or slumber, and he's always faithful. Well, that's a good confession, isn't it? Despite me knowing all of that, I don't go to him. All right, then here's what you need to do. Go to him. And you say, but I don't want to go to him. Well, I'm telling you, go to him and you're going to want to go to him. I don't think anybody has ever gotten off of their knees, spent time with the Lord, and got up and said, well, that was a waste. I don't think that's ever happened. Prayer is good for you. Do it. Just do it. I wouldn't even know where to start in his word. I'm so sick of who I am at this point. Please don't take anything serious. I'm not in any way, shape, or form thinking of self-harm. That's good. I just hate my rotten self. Well, there are certainly parts of us that we should hate about ourselves. But that's not where Christianity ends. Yes, the laws inform us that we are dirty, rotten scoundrels, but the gospel tells us that we're beloved anyway. And you need to load your brain with those truths. So when you feel like a rotten self, you can speak the truth that says you are called as a saint. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are an adopted, beloved child. You need to memorize those verses. When this feeling comes up, recite them. Rehearse those verses that you memorized. And then go to him. I know this isn't how a Bible-believing Christian ought to live out their faith. We're not supposed to have two faces, one in public and one in secret. How can I possibly preach the gospel when my heart is so filthy and wicked? It's not right. It isn't. That's the heart cry of a what would it appear to be a believer who just doesn't receive what is needed to overcome a lack of assurance. And so I would ask you, dear pastor, are you ever preaching on the subject? And you don't need to use the word assurance, but do you ever talk about the issue of progressive sanctification, that we're a progress, that we're not supposed to be fully sanctified? Those of us who are conservative, that is an easy thing for us to miss because sanctification is important. But if all people are hearing is this is how you should be, for those who might be a little bit more on the scrupulous side, they're hearing that's what I'm not. And oh no, therefore the conclusion is not, how can I go to work on this? How can I tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this? But I'm out of the game. I'm my jersey is fake. I don't belong on this team, Pastor. Just asking. Another email. Hello. I was saved around a year and a half ago. Don't have the exact date or time. Since then, I've produced some fruit and had some spiritual growth. Okay, that's a really good start. That's what we're all producing some spiritual fruit. And this is why it's a lifelong affair. After a year and a half, you ain't going to be perfect. None of us are on this side of the veil. But often I find myself taking steps back and feeling stuck and hardened. Especially recently, I doubt my salvation a lot. And so often I have, air quote, repented and, air quote, submitted my life to Christ, that it's become meaningless. My repentance is always empty. And I always end up turning back to worldly things. Was I ever really saved? If I keep backsliding like this, if I am saved, how can I stop the cycle or habit and get closer to God? Do the things that he tells you will help you and stay in the fight. This is a spiritual battle. The militaristic language of the Bible is not a mistake. You are in a war here against the world, the flesh, and the devil. This ain't child's play. This is not sandbox children just kind of being naughty. No, no, no. We are absolutely engaged in war. And you need to be arming up, and you need to be doing the things that he says to do. And in the context of the local church is where that is to happen. Does your repentance feel empty? All right, here's my question for you. Would you have assurance of your salvation if your repentance felt less empty? Be careful with this, because I know that a false assurance could be signaled if we're not careful here. But if you're relying on your repentance being so contrite that that's the only way that really indicates that I'm sorry, be careful. You're going to fall into the lack of assurance ditch. That doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to feel more convicted about your sin. And the longer you sit under the right preaching of God's word, the more you're going to feel that way. It's just going to, it'll happen. And simultaneously, even as that grows, so too will your assurance. They go hand in hand, but you must be participating in the regular feeding. Todd, I long to grow. This is another one. I long to grow in fruit when it comes to being a Christian. Ding, 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 ding. I long to be more fruitful, whether it's patience, joy, love, peace, and all the remaining Galatians 5 fruit. I find myself in a 2 to 3 month upward climb. Then I repeat the same sins, going for 2 to 3 months, repeat the same thing. Now, you can work through the timeline on that, but that to me sounds exactly like sanctification. It's like the stock market, at least the way it used to be. It's just upward trajectory, but it has some up days and it has some down days. Don't just look at the down days and conclude that is the status of your salvation. And Pastor, let's make sure we are addressing what I think is the greatest silent killer in the church. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.